It's always a pleasure. Well, do I have coffee on me?
No.
Oh, yeah, a little bit right there.
Well, you know, the big question here is, James Gunn is your friend, is your buddy, is your pal.
Who told you that? Don't be listening to those. Those are complete fabrications.
But he writes this wonderful part for
yes.
you as Bud Melks, and yet...
yes.
You're the first one, the character that we have fallen in love with that he has whacked off in the script. What's up with that?
You know, I'm going to start a hashtag gun no more kill Rooker.
You're like the next Sean Bean, essentially. You know, I'm like, you're getting killed. I hope Yondu doesn't die.
Kill me all the time.
That just blew my mind. It's like, we've connected with you. We already like Bud yes. so much. And then wrench to the head. And it's like, all I kept thinking is, Gunn, what were you thinking when you wrote this?
But look at what happens to everyone else. I mean,
true.
Okay. I mean, at least I went in a way that was surprised. It was a surprise. And also, it was by a friend.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know.
And the wrench was clean.
It was a clean wrench.
And he like, felt really bad.
Yeah.
And then my friend felt bad.
His eyes where he was just devastated.
he felt bad. It wasn't it funny though. I love that there was no blood.
Yeah.
I like there's so much blood. You know the whole. Exploding things and all the and all that stuff. It was nice, clean, easy, simple, like going to sleep.
Yeah.
Was that a prosthetic, that thing, or was it a CGI?
CGI. It was all CGI. We wanted to do it without blood. I was like, okay, so much blood already. So let's do something. And the image was... When your car gets the fender crushed in,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. and it doesn't work anymore because the crushing in of the fender breaks the tire or goes in and cuts some hydraulics or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, but if you look at the car everywhere else, it looks fine except for that indention.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's the idea behind the head. We kept, and me and Gunn had talked about it, because he wasn't there at the time when we were doing it. So we kept talking, we talked about it, and we both were in agreement, this is what should, it's kind of what it should look like, and, mm-hmm. you know, and they came, and the guys did it on their computer, like, how would this look? Gave me examples, and I said, more. More bigger? Yeah, bigger and deeper. Just not like a the whole quarter panel of my vehicle is dented in. The whole quarter panel of my head is dented in. But no blood. Barely even bruising at this point.
Yeah.
Just like, whoa. You know, so that the lines would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The lines were, you know, something's wrong, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong. I don't feel like blood coming down my face or anything. I don't know there's anything wrong. It happens so fast, it's just there. It's like being knocked out and you're still awake. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it didn't hurt.
It looks
Let
so
me
cool,
just put it that way. It didn't hurt. But didn't feel any pain whatsoever, and he didn't even know he had gotten hurt, for goodness sake. So that's what a great death.
It was good.
You don't even know you're dying.
It was good. It was the reaction from the audience was like, oh!
Oh, good! Oh, how great! Oh, great! Because I wasn't there to get my... Fuck you, Michael Rooker. he sent it to me on my phone, and I was really pleased. That was true love.
Yeah, I can honestly say it's one of the coolest death scenes I've seen on film.
Oh, good. Oh, very good. Really?
Really?
You've seen a lot of death scenes on film. Come on.
I've seen you do a lot of death scenes.
Yeah.
What's your count at this point for death scenes?
Me killing or me
You getting killed.
Oh, I don't know. Whenever I do a gun movie, practically, you know, except for the Guardian series, so.
Now I'm scared for Yondu. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, don't be scared for Yondu.
Okay, good.
You didn't get your chance to off anyone, but had you had your chance, what would have been your weapon of choice? Maybe the blowtorch.
My weapon of choice. I was more into, I didn't even think of, like the character didn't even get into that.
Right.
That. Mm-hmm. Frame of mind, you know, he was just trying to protect his mentally challenged individual friend that he had probably gotten the job and said, you know what, I'll take care of him, don't worry, he's going to be fine, he knows how to do this, and if not, I'll train him, I'll teach him, and I'll take good care of him. So that's My whole thrust in the movie was to protect him and take care of him. If I had had to kill somebody, it would have been in protection of him, mm-hmm. most likely. And so, but my main thrust in the movie was to try to find what's going on with my building, because this is my building. I'm the maintenance guy, dude. This is my building. And somebody's taken over my building. Somebody's caused these sheets of metal, and I can't cut through them with my blowtorch. And it's like freaking me out. What is this all about? And so that, I didn't even... But if I had gotten into that stage of I have to kill or be killed, that kind of thing... my weapon of choice, you were asking, right? Mm-hmm. I like making it personal. My weapon of choice would be me. Maybe an elbow to the eye. Blind you first, and then maybe perhaps I could do a Chinese kind of thing where I go in and take your Adam's apple. You know, that kind of thing. One of those kung fu moves, you know. Or I can do the whole eye, both eyes with the hand, you know, pop them out, you know.
Yeah, that's
good stuff. You know, that kind of thing.
You know, I'm just glad that Bud did die so early so he didn't have to see what they did to his building.
I know, can you believe that?
I
mean,
no respect.
All the fire bombs and all the...
And no one even cleaned up the blood.
No. Nobody's there to clean it up. I'm gone.
Since you had input into the way you die, did you have input? Because when we see you on the screen, we have a certain expectation of this tough guy, but you were actually very soft and sweet.
Yes.
Was that on the page already, or was that something you worked on with?
No, it's something where we sort of developed the role for me.
Oh.
So it was a small little tiny little. How about Bud? We could do something, you know, but. And the whole relationship with his partner was all us. We developed it. Mm-hmm. The whole did they keep the Duke in?
Duke.
You know, when we do the Duke, give me a Duke.
Yes.
Give me a Duke. Okay.
They kept it in.
That was okay. That was me.
What's that from? What
that's
reference
from,
is that?
I do that with my little granddaughter.
Give me a duke.
Boom. We duke each other's head.
Nice.
Well, you can tell her it was left in, but I don't think you should let her see it.
So our dukes calm him down, causes him to focus on one thing and one thing only, and not all the stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. So that comes at a very, very important time in the piece.
Yeah, because when. You see what's going on, you kind of figure out, okay, well, this person's going to be a killer, or this, you know.
Oh,
so it was a nice surprise that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of what we wanted, Gunn and I wanted, trying to, well, how about if we do something that they're not going to, because I, you know, yeah, of course I could have done, I mean, I can think of all kinds of stuff that can kill someone with, you know, your tape recorder, for God's sake. You can stuff it down your throat, you can choke to death. Oh. You know?
Or unscrew these and you can stab eyes out.
Oh, yeah, anything. Yeah. I love the campaign, the poster campaign, the cup.
It's so perfect. Yeah, I'm curious, Michael, because you're so used to having James direct you after writing the words and creating your character. Here, Greg steps in, only because James is so tied up with Guardians.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the experience like being directed by Greg with the character and the words that you and James had created?
Mm. It was all right. Yeah, yeah. No, Greg, he's a great guy. I mean, his visuals is, it all worked out really well. He got what we were doing. You know, he realized what we were doing, and every character, and that's what the director does. And it's kind of a tough job, sort of developing and helping the actor to maybe realize or where they are in this whole crazy world, because that is our world at that time. You know, it's like being growing up in your old neighborhood, and you know, this is your world. This is your old neighborhood. You grew up here, and you haven't ventured out anywhere else. You know, as a kid, you grow up in a certain area, and so I grew up in two different places in Alabama, and it's kind of a little southern town. Very poor, and then moved to Chicago to the inner city, still very poor, and yet it was like two completely different worlds that were in, you know, completely opposite, and just as both just as kind of crazy and, you know, odd, and then this is that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The Belko experiment, the Belko building is these people's, that's their world, and now they have to deal with it.
Did you see much of Bogota whilst you were down there? Did you have much free time?
We did. We worked. We didn't work like crazy hours. They have a certain certain time restraints, you know, and they stuck to it, and so we had our evenings free. We had our evenings free, and I think we were lucky because I think we worked, our sets were, there was one set, but they used the warehouse for other things, they used it for other things at other hours of the day. So we couldn't work there until they were finished and all that kind of stuff. So that was good for us, because that means the actor gets to have off. Yeah, we can just chill out now and do our thing.
This movie also reminds me, because I used to work in a corporate setting like that. It reminds me of how terribly awful it was to be working in cubicles, and at least for me. Can you picture yourself in that kind of workplace day in and day out, Michael?
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, probably not.
You're not a hamster in the wheel kind of guy.
I, of course you can do it. You can do that kind of job, but I couldn't really picture myself doing that kind of work all the time for the whole day in and day out, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you. But nothing wrong with that, I guess.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just that, you know, me personally, I'm a creative guy, and I need to have that. I'm from a long line of artists who never knew they were artists. You know, because that's not what it was like in the South at the time. You don't know you're an artist. You just know you're frustrated. You just know that, you know, you're doing this job. You're doing this job that you don't like. Mm-hmm. I grew up, my parents, my cousins, my aunts and uncles, I don't think I know a single one that really loved their job. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll say, no, I love my job. But from my perspective as a child, the work was work. It wasn't, you're going to go and enjoy this. Mm-hmm. Work seems to me like something that's laborious and tough, and you sweat and you make a little bit of money to do it. And that's my whole concept of work. And growing up, I couldn't even imagine not working. But there was a big change that occurred for me creatively. I realized that I was an artist. You know, I was an artist before I was an actor. And so, but none of the mediums that I would work in was satisfying enough. Mm. So acting is the one that caught me and satisfied me. Like, because every role is different for me. Mm. For me, internally, they're all different. You know, your audiences may see similarities, you know, in maybe... You know, the way I walk or how I phrase things. But I don't think about how I phrase things when I'm working. I'm just, you know, internally is the most important change that occurs for me when I work, when I do my work. And I'm like probably the only person in my whole family history that really, I like to think that it's unfortunate, but I love my work.
Did you bring the toilet paper? And how did that idea come about?
Oh, my toilet paper?
Yeah, with your face on it?
Oh, yeah. He just wanted everyone to wipe themselves with my face. he just thought it was a great joke.
That was the coolest.
The people, everyone in his house, or every bathroom had my face in the toilet paper. And so girls kept coming up to me going like, did you know that? Yeah, I know. What'd you think? But yeah, I don't know. He had made a joke previously to his love of his life, and she, I think, ordered it. It was a surprise order. She ordered it, and so when he saw it, he was like, "Oh my God, this is so great! I'm gonna put them in every bathroom." So, I know, right? What a dork.
Those are great friends.
Totally. He finally saved me a roll.
One roll.
Yeah, I got a roll. I got it at home. He gave me a roll.
How generous.
Toilet paper, right?
Do you still dabble in painting and drawing and things like that? Yeah.
I did the stained glass. I did a little painting. I did like sculpting, you know, stuff like that. Some woodwork. You know, carpentry type stuff. And, you know, it's still good. I'm good, you know, but with that kind of stuff. But this is, yeah, more, now I adjust internally. Maybe I want to, for some reason. I like doing that. And I like being somebody else for a while. You know, that kind of thing. And so, why, I don't know why, but I just do. And there's probably some deep-seated reason that's squirming around in my brain why I do this kind of stuff, but it's really fun.
We'll be seeing it in the gallery soon? Hmm? You ever think about putting it in the gallery? Or a lot of people do that.
Maybe. Maybe. You never know.
It'll be at Lack My Watch.
Or you'll start touring with it like Billy Zane and go to Europe with his.
Oh my God, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because he didn't exhibit here, but he went right to Europe.
And Norman's a great artist too. Norman Reedus is an artist, you know. I did photography, visual stuff, you know.
Before they take you away, I just want to ask, and I know that Marvel might have a sniper somewhere, but what can you tell us a bit about what we...
Anything you want to know. What do you want to know?
Yes. So is
Yondu... Ah, the hell with Marvel. What do you want to know? I'll tell you. I trust you. I trust you will never print it.
How much of a friend Yondu is now to the team, because he's in the trailer. He seems so close.
He's in the
to
team,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's part
of
the
team. Yeah, yeah, right.
So it's not like that in the first movie.
Yeah. I know. We you know, look, we're like a group. We're like family and pals. Now,
you were
right?
given a troll at the end of the first one, so that's reason enough to come into the fold.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. That's yeah. true.
That was your
and you know all those little trinkets I have.
Yes.
The little frog,
yeah, right.
yeah. the little troll, all my little guys on my console.
Do you have to keep any of those?
I have the little bug thing with the eyes
nice.
that I'm looking at. Look at his eyes. And that scene is such a great scene because you. Yeah, the eyes follow you around. You know, it was so great to do that role, to do that sequence. It was so much fun.
I just want to know how many hours you spent in the ADR booth whistling.
Guys, last question.
Oh,
for
ADR?
For your weapon?
Oh, man, dude. I don't know. I was there for a while, you know. It was okay. I mean, you know, stuff like that. And I did the whistling, the melodic whistling was really cool. I was able to do that and yeah, it became good. I became pretty good at it, you know.
Nice.
Well, yeah. Are we all done?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
I will see you probably next month. For
next
Guardians.
Month.
Yeah.
Guardians
oh, whoa, right.
Guardian. Looking forward to some work.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yes. Oh, well, okay. Okay, you never know.
You
never know.
I could do something with coffee cups.
And toilet paper.
Coffee cups and